early on.
Okay. We are. No, I think I'll be okay here.
You good to go?
Yep.
All right. Okay. I'm going to call the meeting to order. I think we have quorum. We have everyone here and then some. Starting with roll call, Marianne.
What time are we calling the meeting of the Arts Advisory Committee?
On January 17th, 2018
you need to give
at 7:03 p.m. Did I cover everything?
Full title of the committee?
The San Ramon Arts Advisory Committee.
Committee member Batchelor.
Here.
Committee member Brathwaite.
Here.
Committee member Liu. Committee member Manny.
Here.
Committee member Mohana. Committee member Shastri. Committee member Tui.
Here.
Committee member Vihilia.
Here.
Okay.
All right. So any special items or announcements?
No.
Okay. Then moving on, any public comment or written communication?
No.
All right. Approval of minutes from the November 15th, 2017 meeting. We did not have a December meeting, so this would be from November. Does anybody have any questions or comments on the meeting minutes? Someone want to move to approve?
Move approval.
Okay. Anyone second?
I'll second.
I wasn't. I thought.
All right. John second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All in favor? I got one aye.
Yeah, well, I need to hear everybody, please. If you were
aye,
here,
aye.
You're abstaining. So how many ayes do we have?
One, two, three.
Can I say aye if I
four.
Wasn't there?
No,
wasn't there.
You cannot vote
I
if you were not there, so you're abstaining.
Okay.
So we have.
One, two, three. One. You weren't there. Okay.
Mm. Okay.
Do we need to wait?
We can do this at the end of the meeting then officially. If otherwise we'll just have to carry it over until next meeting.
Okay.
That's not really enough to go for the
yeah,
full vote.
And sometimes Lana comes in late, so people might come in.
Okay.
John Manny
he's here. No, John is here.
Oh, okay, there he is.
So we can move on.
All right, consent calendar. Are there any items on the consent calendar?
None.
All right, then we're moving on, committee business. 7.1 City Center Arts Program. Lauren Barr is the planning manager.
Thank you. I have a very brief introduction, and then I'll turn it over to the Sunset Design team to talk in detail about their art program. Just in terms of a little bit of context, the City Center project has been envisioned and refined and has been floating around for over 20 years. In 2007, the Planning Commission and City Council approved a concept for the development of a City Center Lifestyle Center at Bollinger and Camino Ramon. That was just at the height of the start of the economic downturn, so it sat for a while. In 2014, Sunset re-envisioned the project and focused primarily on the retail and lifestyle center and commissioned Renzo Piano to do a design of the building. And so that's the Renzo Piano design that you'll see tonight. So this portion of the project is primarily retail. There are still two other phases that have residential and retail, and then there's an office component south of Bollinger Canyon Road. But this is the portion that we're talking about tonight is what's under construction, and you see as you go down Bollinger. So as part of that approval, there was a requirement for both a master sign program to regulate signage on the project, as well as a public art program for compliance with the Art in Public Places guidelines. And so what we have tonight is the actual art program, but we're also going to talk a little bit about the sign program because they're dovetailed together. They share a common facade in the sense that there's a racking system, which is referred to as the civic information device, a nice technical term for you. But it basically is the canvas by which they put signage and various components. The ARB, the Architectural Review Board, reviewed the sign program at their January 11th meeting and approved it. And they also recommended moving forward with this art program that we'll talk about tonight. So tonight we're going to be asking the Arts Advisory Committee to review this proposal and, if appropriate, recommend approval of this program to the Planning Commission. That'll be the next step in the process. So the art program that we'll be talking about tonight is really two components. There's a sculptural element, a barometer or clock tower element that is fixed and will be there indefinitely. And then there's a programmatic program or a changeable program, which is in addition to the primary installation. And again, that will change over time, and I'll let Sunset go into details about how they plan to manage that program. But again, the two things are tied together with this civic information device. And again, it's a racking system. You can see on the model there, it's those metal panels that you see that were samples were put up in the vacant field, and there's also a mock-up. But that canvas area, what I'll refer to as the canvas, contains art and civic information, tenant identification, a sponsorship area, project identification, the city center branding, and then also a percentage of clear space. And all those different components are regulated through percentage-based standards. So it's a performance standard in which the city will review the proposals and verify percentages as they come in. So as tenants change, we'll get new proposals and we'll review that. Likewise, as art comes in, it's addressed through an administrative process. So in that context, I'm going to turn over to Sunset to talk about both the art and civic program as well as the clock tower, or Camp Neely as they refer to it. So I'll turn it over to Jerry with Sunset Development.
Thanks, Lauren. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're excited to be here. Again, I'm Jerry Ng, and I head up development and construction for Sunset for all of Bishop Ranch. And I have with me my colleague, Rob Elliott, who's in charge of design for all of Sunset and Bishop Ranch, and Audrey McGee, who's with Renzo Piano's office. She's out of the Paris office, which is the office that was in charge of designing this project. She's now lives out here full-time while we continue to execute the project. So we're excited because, you know, we've worked obviously long and hard to bring the project to fruition, and it's finally coming out of the ground. And we have been working very hard on all of the details of the project that the customer will see and touch and feel, and things that they'll experience that they won't really understand why they feel so good just because we paid attention to every detail. And that's one thing that Renzo Piano's office is known for. They pay attention to every single detail, every screw, every bolt, every line in the sand, every score pattern has a reason for why it's there. So we've been turning our attention for several months on how we're going to execute on the sign and arts program. So as Lauren mentioned, we have the permanent art piece that Rob went into through the presentation. Then we have the more programmatic and kind of what we're considering an added benefit and voluntary, but something we feel is going to be something very unique and different that nobody's ever done before, which will keep this place kind of changing and exciting and evolving. And we worked really hard because we had to figure out how do we create a regulatory framework that give comfort, but then allow us flexibility to allow it to continue to change and evolve and be a living and breathing, you know, element, which is what this center is going to do and be for the city of San Ramon. So we're really excited about it. We hope you like what you see. And I'm going to turn it over to my brother Rob here to walk you through the presentation.
We want to do the presentation pretty flexibly tonight. So as you see things, if you have questions, please interrupt me. That's not a problem. And we're going to sort of riff off of each other too as things come up if I miss anything. It's really a privilege to be able to present these things to you tonight because we're super excited about this. This art program was basically conceived by Renzo Piano at the very beginning, and as we've been evolving and developing it, we're really excited to bring it to life finally. One of the things I realized when we presented to the ARB, not everybody knew exactly what City Center was, so I wanted to take 2 minutes and just try to get you located. I think you've all experienced our construction on Bollinger. So it's a 15-acre site at the corner of Bollinger and Camino Ramon. This is Sunset Drive. This is the shops at Bishop Ranch and Target and Bishop Drive in this location. As Lauren said, this is the future phase that houses housing and a hotel and some more retail as well. And so that's the focus. And initially, when you look at the plan looks fairly simple, but the initial idea that Renzo Piano's office had was to design it as a city block. And so most retail places you've been to have clearly a front and a back. And the back is where all the service comes in, and the front is where you park. And so we realized as Bishop Ranch builds out and the future phases happen here, this project is super unique because it has retail on all four sides. And so the service is internal and the parking is internal as well. This is a recent construction shot. The east building is almost topped out. This is a concrete building that has the parking structure in it. And this is a steel building that has retail on the bottom and a theater and a health club on the top. So this is a super recent. And the mock-up I'm going to talk about tonight with you guys is up in this corner in the parking lot behind the new garage. So this is Bishop and Camino Ramon. And I encourage you, if you have the opportunity to go out and look at it, it has open access, so you can go see really full size what this thing is going to look like. And that was a key thing for us to really figure out how to build it and make sure that it was implemented for the vision. I don't know how well you guys do with exonometrics, but it's really the only way to sort of understand how the building works. So on the ground floor, everything in yellow are shops that face the outside four streets. They also face the piazza in the middle and what we call the avenue that runs through the project. Ultimately will continue as a pedestrian spine on then to 26th Centered, and it's a framework that continues through the ranch. On the second level, we have second level retail, and I'll show you the model in a minute, that faces the intern inside of the piazza and also along the avenue. And then starting on the second floor, third floor, and fourth floor is the parking, and the parking is entered on either side of the project in this location here and on Bishop Drive here. So basically, parking, all the retail parking and everything is encapsulated in one single building. And then this is a fairly recent model we use, which shows the idea of a stainless steel facade. And the idea that Renzo's office had would be some sort of beautiful stainless steel facade that would be floating on an all-glass framework where the shops would be. And it's really unique for the tenants because they're not used to having no walls. And so for us, we're excited because it's put a premium on merchandising versus signs. But it's taken them a while to sort of get there. But we're super excited about how it's going to feel. So to start out and talk about the things we want to go over with you tonight, there's some questions asked about how the building works. And if you sort of bear with me, this is the section of the building that faces the street. And this is a section of the building that faces the piazza and the avenue. So on the inside of the piazza, there's two levels of retail. There's 14-foot tall storefronts on the inside and the outside. And a portion of the stainless steel that continues that frames the piazza. On the outside is the device that Lauren was talking about, which is a civic information device. So at the very beginning, the conception that Renzo's office had, besides creating a city block so that it has great retail and pedestrian access all the way around, which is why you see that it touches the street on Bishop Drive and there's very little service parking, was the idea that everything is a front. And in addition to that, the idea was to use the stainless steel facade as basically an architectural system that provides continuity and unity, that wraps the project, that unifies the buildings, that hides the view of the parking structure. You won't even know there's a parking structure in there, except that there are signs that will get you. I mean, it's very obscure because most people are used to seeing black slots in cars. So it's completely encapsulated with that stainless steel facade. Then there's this beautiful framework on the outside, which you can see here is made out of stainless steel rods and steel pieces that are set about 3 feet off the face of the stainless steel. And then there's a lighting system that projects another 3 feet out from that. And this is a device that Renzo's office called the Civic Information Device. And the idea was that on that facade, it would be dynamic and ever-changing, it wouldn't be static. So that's one of the things we had to figure out, how do you actually implement that and have control over it and make it happen. And the second piece is that the primary focus of this piece of the elevation was that it would reflect the social and cultural life of the community. So when you start looking at how we designed this thing, almost a third of it is devoted to art and civic information. About another third is open space, because one of the things we figured out is you can't cover the whole thing because the pieces sort of need to float cleanly in space, otherwise it looks cluttered. And then the other pieces are devoted to tenant identity and center identity. So I'll show you how that works in a minute. So the basic system that holds our art program is the civic information device, which you can see articulated here. This is the full-scale mock-up. We wanted to build the thing. It's about 45 feet tall, and we really spent a lot of time refining the rack of the civic information device system to make sure that in fixing banners or sculptural art to it, could we figure out how to fix it? Could we figure out how not to have the banners flutter around? Could we still keep life in the banners? The most important thing was, could we figure out a way to change it? Because it had to be easy to change to make it dynamic. If it's difficult to get off there, then it's going to be harder and more expensive to change out the components. So we finally believe that we've come up with a system that works really well. And we also wanted to test the lighting. And then this is an example of the individual internally illuminated letters. And we were experimenting. We started to get nervous about if the stainless steel got too light, with the white letters that we wanted to use not have enough contrast so you could see them during the day. So we tried black, which turns white at night, and we realized that the white letters look terrific. They're much more sophisticated. So all of our city center logos and all the names will be basically done out of individual internally illuminated white letters. So this is the Bollinger elevation, and the civic information device, as I said, basically wraps the entire project on all four. So there's all four elevations have this device on it, and there's breaks where we have the avenue in this location, and this is the piazza here. And as Lauren was saying, the wrap sort of blurs the definition between art, civic information, and identity. And one of the things that we really focus on, very few tenants will have the ability to have their name on that system because we don't want it to look like a billboard that basically has every tenant. They're either a major tenant. Right now, the lot, which is the theater, is on there. It's likely that the health club will be on there, and so far those are the main people. So it's basically the primary key tenants, which you see here. The second piece that provides sort of identity on the outside of the center is the city center logo and name, and that will occur on all four facades. And it's basically oriented to help you orient the entrance into the four principal elevations. And finally, there's a sponsorship zone. And the idea behind this is that we want to work with some larger institutions that might help contribute to help pay for the art and the shows that will be rotating around. So the concession that they would get for helping us do that is they could tastefully put up a piece of their work with their logo on it, and that's what they would get for concessions with helping either do a show inside the piazza or help us do something on the outside of the facade. And think about things like some of the beautiful photography that Nike's done. I really like the photography series that Red Bull does every year. They have awards for the best sports photography, and it's amazing. And so our idea is that piece would be a banner. It would be devoted to that art, and their name would be a small logo or a small piece of it. But the primary function would be for their artistic expression.
So finally, is it just one sponsor?
One spot.
There's only one spot for sponsorship, but it will rotate. The sponsor could change out over time.
Yes, yes. And our idea is that ultimately, if we don't find sponsors, it will shift over and we'll have a place for more civic art or civic information. But we set it aside as an opportunity. So what we want to do tonight is to talk about the two pieces below. So the three above are what we reviewed with the ARB, which is the managing document for taking care of these pieces is in the sign program. The managing document that governs the art which there's two components, is the art program, which is before you tonight. And it's broken down into two components. One is our permanent sculpture piece, which we call Il Campanile, which is on this this corner facing Bollinger at one of the primary entrances to the project. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in detail. And the second part we call programmatic art. And the idea here is this is changeable, primarily banners, but the system is also set up to accept sculpture and three-dimensional pieces as well. But the idea is that this part of the art would be changeable. Il Campanile would be a permanent sculptural piece that would be the first piece that we would build, and it would be installed when the center opens. So let me take you through the piece a little bit. And what we asked Antonio Belvedere, which was the design partner for this project from RPPW, we asked him to do an art piece for us that he thought symbolized the sort of civic nature and civic vision that Renzo had for the project. So being a good Italian, Antonio's idea was to sort of look at the precedent of kind of key piazzas around the world, mostly which have a campanile, many have a bell tower. So the idea was some sort of civic device that would sort of mark this as a civic place. But then the question was, how do we make this a modern piece that sort of reflects current time? So the components that make up Il Campanile are four. One, we have an 85-foot-tall mast, which is designed to move in the wind, which symbolizes its relationship to the wind. We have time in the center. We have a barometer on the left, and we have a thermometer on the right. And so Antonio's idea, besides making this a civic piece at our entrance, was that this is an outdoor space. And the idea of basically somehow connecting people with their ever sort of changing environment, it's not like an interior mall. The idea is that this piece sort of reflects the changing nature of the climate. And the third piece that we thought was really interesting was, I grew up in a farm in a really remote part of Oregon, and I sort of remember seeing this weird book sitting on my father's desk, and it was the Farmer's Almanac. He had two things he looked at all the time. One was the almanac, and another one was the barometer. And so we really got excited about the barometer. What we want to do with the barometer is we've got four companies that we're talking about helping us fabricate this with Antonio. The idea is that these would be metal pieces of construction, but they're also going to be connected to data such that we have a way to symbolize rising and falling, which is really, a barometer is not supposed to be static. It's supposed to tell you if it's going to rain or if the weather's going to clear. So we want to figure out a way to get that to be a dynamic piece, which we'll probably do with some sort of LED lighting. There will be lighting associated with it, with the temperature as well. So, and that's basically our idea. The other thing we thought about, the agrarian piece of it, in some ways it's sort of the barometer and the idea of weather being important in some ways harkens back to what San Ramon's roots were when weather really mattered, because we were growing, we had agriculture here. So there's a for people who were here before this sort of urbanized, there's some sense that the weather was sort of more important, which is the idea behind the barometer. So we have a maquette, which I encourage you to come and take a look at tonight, where we started to basically work out what the materiality is. And I think as we built the model, I think some of the pieces, the cloud forms and some of the lettering, we think need to be scaled up a little bit. But we're pretty excited about that as sort of a permanent piece. And it also provides an example for other artists that we might work with about how you might do a sculpture or a three-dimensional piece, because the banners will be a lot easier than implementing a three-dimensional piece on the rack, but it's set up to take that. So that's the first permanent piece. The second part of the art program is what we call art and civic information. So Lauren alluded tonight to a regulatory device that we worked to create to provide certainty about, you know, so you might say, well, what would keep you guys from putting all tenant names on there and there's no art or anything else? So what we did is we worked to develop a percentage system which basically identifies the five pieces that I was telling you about. The yellow is tenant identification. The white pieces that you see there are permanent city center names. And then in the green area, which is about a third of the civic information, Education Advice, those green areas will be either devoted to art pieces or civic information. So what we're really talking about tonight is everything that's green on this drawing. But I wanted you to see this document because of these other four categories are really important because they're what govern the amount of coverage that the other things that aren't art can take up on the space. So basically, the other thing that I wanted to point out is that we've left about 37% of the space has to be open space because as we started developing drawings for this, it really became clear that there needed to be white space. They needed to be stand as individual pieces so you can recognize them and appreciate them. So there needs to be space between pieces. So the banner idea is a really important component to this for a couple of reasons. And I think I put these images in here because I think if you go to other cities, when you see a place that has banners, there's this sort of sense that it must be important. There's something civic related to it. And so I think the difference between these buildings and our building is that our building was designed to accommodate these pieces. And typically what you see, especially with some of the classical architecture, they sort of work with what they have. But the banners, we think, will really take this notion of civicness a lot further than buildings like this that this use would normally have. So this is an elevation that would show you, that illustrates or articulates what would happen if each of the pieces was filled in that we talked about in terms of these are the tenant identification, this is art and civic information, this is the sponsorship zone. So you can see that while there's areas identified for these materials, like for example in the tenant zones, the areas identified, but within that they can only fill 60% of that space. So not only have we identified how much space can be put on the rack that's tenant oriented, within that space, they can only fill X percent of it. So we had to find a way to control this. So you ask yourself, okay, why would you do that? Well, the idea is that we want to try to develop a document that everyone's comfortable with from a management perspective. But what we realized as we started developing the ideas for this, that it would be a shame to not have it be dynamic. So when it's dynamic, you have to figure out some way to handle the control of it, but also not fix it to the point where certain things couldn't move and change. For example, you know, if the sponsorship zone, we don't have sponsors, we could put art in there. So it's changeable. So the type of banner that we're thinking about, there's two kinds. One is we're thinking about a more permanent banner, which we might have artists celebrate the season. So we may have four sets of banners that would be rotated out for the four seasons, and those would be pieces that we would commission and that we would have in perpetuity or until they became, you know, we had to basically replace them. The second kind, and particularly civic information, is really oriented towards current events. And the thinking on that, I was really excited about the Art and Wind Festival graphic and the art that's associated with the Doherty Valley Performing Arts Center. So our idea on the civic side is these would be changeable. They would be put up prior to an event. They would come down after an event. And our primary focus would be sort of three categories. One, to start with the city of San Ramon and focus on getting banners in place that focus on things that are happening in our community. The second would be related to East Bay. And then once that's done, if we have opportunities for more regional uses, there's some really good examples of things that I think would be of real interest to the community. So that's some sort of sense of the type of pieces that we see that would happen in these zones. And what we were talking about tonight, we need to start developing a relationship with the community to make sure we know how to get those events done. The exciting thing to us as we've researched it is a lot of the graphics that are being done for these projects or events is suitable enough and it's handsome that it could become a banner pretty easily. So the transition could be made fairly easily. And so that now you sort of understand the reason of trying to set up a system that's changeable. The second part of the program, our idea on this is this could have a relationship to the seasons that I talked about. But the other thing we talked about doing was trying to focus and look at the Bay Area region and try to understand opportunities that existed sort of in the five categories of art photography, it could be typography. And the idea would be to draw inspiration from those and create banners from that. And those have, may have a more permanent position. And I think the last piece of that is we're still trying to figure out ways to encourage three-dimensional art. And I think one of the things that came up in the ARP discussion that I wanted to point out, our intention in the, as you saw in the mock-up, each of those bays is completely full. And as we look at the design, we realize that this needs to be more dynamic. So our idea is that you wouldn't have four elevations with complete blocks that would become monotonous. That we've set up the systems, there's six holes that run up and down the racking system, and we see that being much more dynamic, so it isn't sort of static 6 foot by 22 foot banners that would be all the same size. So there's an opportunity to change that up. And I just wanted to point out that, the energy that we put into trying to figure out how to make this system good, we've looked at three or four different kinds of banner materials. We wanted to make sure that the digital art that could be printed on those, that it looked really good, were the colors good, could you read it well. And the thing we're really excited about is we discovered two fabrics that are actually transparent. And one of the ideas Renzo's office had was that this stainless steel facade is super lively. So when shadow hits it or color hits it, it picks up reflected color from other objects around them or from the banners. And so the idea of being able to have these semi-transparent, that facade then starts to pick up the color that's articulated in each one of these guys. And so we have developed a rod system that hooks at the top that can be unfurled. There's a tensioning system at the bottom, and then there's six pieces that connect to hold the banner in place. And that is our art program. We all would really be happy to answer any questions you guys have, and we're obviously excited about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm excited. I'm excited that you're bringing art and the various performing and visual arts of the community and bringing them into your project and, you know, putting them in the forefront.
The thing that we got, I got really inspired because we tried to find examples of real events and imagine how those events could be articulated. And the thing I got excited about was, as I said, the quality of the art that's being used in those mailers and advertising is really beautiful, and it could easily transfer to something that's much larger. And I think you could get double use out of, you know, the art that might be done. Like the Dirty Valley piece was beautiful, and you can imagine that at, you know, 6x22 would be incredible.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's been a challenge, I think, both with the city arts programs, you know, the Performing Arts and the Santa Ramon Arts Foundation. It's been a challenge to drive audience and to make sure that we promote the events. And I think, you know, we can work together with you and this program to help achieve that goal. And bring people from outside of the community to San Ramon once we establish a really good quality arts program.
Yeah, I think the key thing for us is we imagine sitting with key people and developing a calendar system. I spent a lot of time on the internet looking at everybody's calendars and event calendars to figure out how that might work. And at first I was nervous because there wasn't enough stuff, but there is. There's actually really good things that we could promote.
Yeah.
And so I think the key thing for us is sitting with key members of the community that you guys might recommend, and you know, we start basically developing a calendar of how those pieces would work. And I was going to say, the last thing is, we worked really hard with our sign fabricator to try to figure out how to get the banners to be as cost-effective as possible, because the key thing is most of the arts programs don't have a lot of money. So the idea is, how can we create this really quality piece and have it be affordable? So we figured out what the cost is to put the banner in, and then what the cost to rotate it is. We tried to set up a system so we can do it ourselves versus having to have a professional sign company come in and do it too.
Thank you.
You mentioned your write-up here talks about an ongoing involvement with, if I'm reading this right, with this committee. The role of the AAC is to serve as the city's review authority as it moves through the advisory and regulatory review process. Is that intended as a one-shot deal, like here, or on an ongoing basis? I'm talking, I guess, specifically about the various pieces of art.
I can start with that one. So there's a procedure that's laid out in the Arts Advisory or Arts Program Guidelines, and it has a review with the ARB, with the Arts Advisory Committee, and the Planning Commission. And so we're at the stage with the Arts Advisory Committee, and we're asking for to acknowledge and to approve this program. Now, the details of going back and forth will be handled through administrative review of, you know, changing of banners and things like that. That'll be a coordination between staff. It's not intended that every banner change will come back to this committee. That being said, I could very easily envision a situation where a more permanent sculptural element might be proposed, or some other type of, you know, a three-dimensional object that we might want to bring to the committee for feedback, because it's a longer-term impact. But the banner program, again, is much more dynamic and changeable, and doesn't represent a long-term commitment to any one art form.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments?
So the real focus here, or one of the primary focuses, is I'm just here as a liaison of the Parks Commission, but that never stops me from speaking, so no. Is the primary sculpture piece, right, Lauren? That's the piece that maybe there needs to be a little bit of focus on in terms of discussion, because that's the piece that satisfies the public art requirement for the city.
Correct. They're taking a two-tiered approach to it. You know, obviously, this is a significant undertaking to produce this particular art piece in the vision that they have with the, you know, the LEDs and various dynamic nature of it. So from the standpoint of at least the conditions of approval, yes, that would meet the requirement. But as Jerry mentioned, they're going beyond that because they also have their own vision for how to activate the space and how to create this dynamic environment. And so we wanted to make sure that this committee also had the opportunity to provide feedback on that. But yes, it's primarily the permanent art feature is what we're really looking at. Everything else would be good feedback, you know, for the future and how they choose to develop that program, because it's going to be largely managed by the property owner. With oversight by the city.
Right, and I want to make sure that I understand all the components here for my knowledge, and since I'll be reporting back to the Parks Commission. So there's a heavy banner emphasis, obviously, dynamic changing of banner emphasis.
Yes.
We've got this heavy sculptural piece, and so there's a lot of, as you say, with the lettering, a lot of internal lighting, potentially some transparent banners. There'll be some key lighting throughout the center, I understand. Where will technology, in terms of the art and the displays, be plugged in? Well, you know, because when I first heard the term that you referred to, civic information device, that immediately triggered my association with technology, though I didn't really catch that flavor there. Will there be any kind of electronic mark? I'm just curious, electronic marquee, or where do we plug that in?
So what we've done is,
it's a great question.
It is a really good question.
I may just have missed it.
And we thought about that quite a bit. So we actually do have both power and data running out to the device and certain components of the rack that will allow us the flexibility. We don't have digital, for instance, right now. It's a very expensive proposition. And what we didn't want to do is just slap up a digital reader board or something like you would see at a stadium, because I don't think that does what we really want. There are some really unique and some very cool kind of like a mesh fabric that's digital where you can get some reading. It's very expensive, but we really didn't see that as being our vision out of the gate for how to communicate the art and deal with the civic information. We want it to be more organic and more of the nature. But, you know, we don't know what the future holds. And so we definitely stub power and data on all four side elevations in various locations, so they give us the ultimate flexibility in the future, should more dynamic, or maybe there's an art piece that gets commissioned that actually does have data and power kind of as part of the sculptural art, so we have that flexibility in the future.
Okay, that's good to know. And also with regard to the programming, I think beyond just the visual art, I imagine there's going to be, you know, with that football-sized, you know, piazza in the middle, there's going to be a lot of artistic-based programming that you'll want to promote in some creative way. And I don't know where exactly that will intersect with the City Parks and Community Services Department or the Arts Advisory Committee in terms of how to promote it. But I would imagine that's where you're going to dabble a little bit more, even maybe into some kind of futuristic marquee. I don't know what that might look like.
And we wanted the signature art component to be visible to everybody, not just those that come visit, but those driving by. And we didn't want it to be in a place in the site that restricted the ability to do other things. So the piazza, for instance, is really where the community is going to gather. It's where we're going to hold the tree lighting. It's where you're going to have events and where people are going to come and enjoy this center on a daily basis. And so if you put a big sculptural piece in the middle of the piazza, it limits you from the ability to activate that piazza and do all these various things, concerts and, you know, maybe ice skating rinks and all the things you might want to do in the piazza. So we really felt that putting the permanent piece there was the most appropriate place where everybody can enjoy it, and it's a signature landmark, but it allows us that flexibility to do all kinds of things. And, you know, you could have art-related events in the piazza and you know, temporary pieces and things of that nature there.
I wonder, just my last question, I wonder what people, you know, if this moves forward, if the advisory committee recommends and planning approves, what folks will start to refer to that as, you know, as things are implemented and institutionalized into a structure, you know, people start, there's the clock, you know, or whatever. It'll be curious to see if that moves forward, kind of what the community brands it as. You know, that's always an interesting process.
Right. So there's not a tree laying in front of this, right?
There are trees.
Yes, there are trees on the side.
Okay. That last image that I put up, you can see there are trees.
It's not an obstructed view of the...
It will definitely be a filtered view. Okay. And everything we have with the project is deciduous. And so there's going to be periods of time where that will come and go. The same with the piazza, too. They're deciduous trees as well. And our feeling was, you know, if you work with sort of... well, I don't know how to describe this. If you work with most retail developers, the last thing they want to see is a tree. Because the idea is that blocks a storefront. And we had a completely different view of that idea because the landscape is really an important component of the Bishop Ranch. And we didn't want to create this building that sat in the middle of nowhere. It had a parking around, that was it. So we tried to really balance the landscaping with the views of the civic information device. But there are going to be places that are blocked. The view is dynamic, you know, as you move through and past the site. And we tried to, along Bollinger, for example, the way we've clustered the trees, we tried to make sure that there's windows that you can see as you sort of move along. But we really, the landscape was really as important as the other pieces as well. Yeah. So it's not 100% perfect view all the time.
And that was something that was discussed in detail with the Architectural Review Committee when we reviewed the landscape plans for the project, was how to keep the sight lines into the project and make that connection between you know, vehicle traffic and pedestrians as well.
But in general, we don't see this necessarily as trees versus the gesture that we're doing on the building. It's just another layer of beauty and movement that can contribute to the overall gesture of the building. So they're not in competition with one another, and it creates a nice environment for people on the ground. You know, nobody likes, you think of one of those airport parking lots where they're sitting. It's dismal, so it's, you know, at the end of the day, this is about the people of San Ramon and having a nice place for the community and the trees play an important role.
I wanted to say one more thing about digital, because we talked a lot about this at ARB. And I would say that as we worked on this, we initially started with more digital ideas. The thing about digital is that, for example, the mesh that Jerry was talking about is really interesting. It basically is a white wire mesh, and there's dotted LEDs, and the closer you get, the more expensive it is, but it's basically like pixels. And so what you can do is create an image, you know, with that mesh. The problem is, when the lights are on, what is that mesh? And so as we move through the process, I would say we became more analog and more tactile than digital. Because the problem with digital is, you know, is it good during the day? Is it good at night? What happens when it isn't on? And so when we did we got really excited when we got the banners up on the mock-up, because the scale's amazing. The digital printing technology is really good. And we were also excited about the letters. But this sort of pure digital, for us, like, for example, we really want to figure out a way to get the barometer to be predictive. And so it would be really cool to see that blue line moving. Is it trending down or is it trending up? So the type of digital we're thinking about is, how do we take the digital information but convert it to more of an analog display? And the other thing we looked at too, you guys, is the technology for projecting images on buildings has really come a long ways. And I'm sure you guys have been to events where they change a building literally by projecting on something on it. But then we started thinking, okay, well, once you do that, do you change it? You know, so what does that mean? And so we actually have wired everything. We're set up to do digital projection. We talked about, the piazza has a really interesting fountain in it. It's called a scrim. And it's basically, you can walk across it, but when the water flows up through the joints, it becomes a mirror. So it completely reflects the sky. And it's really interesting, because when you see it, the illusion is that it's this sort of deep blue pool, even though it's only about this deep. And the reason we did it is so that you can shut the fountain off and have performances on top of it. So we tried to set up the piazza so that it was super functional. When there isn't an event, the fountain's on, it has a mist system, but it also ultimately would be a good projection opportunity too. But we sort of moved away from the bells and whistles idea to more of a kind of a traditional analog idea, knowing that our system is set up that if that technology became interesting, we could do that. So I would say it was conscious that we didn't turn. You set up a rack system like this, and you immediately think, oh my God, we can do all this sort of stuff on it. But then you start thinking about what does that really mean? Do you really want to read a board? No, because it looks like a high school or, you know. So the idea was to really focus on the pieces of art, the tangible pieces, I guess. And the lighting system, you asked about that. I just wanted to point out that the art system, and when you see the mock-up, you'll really appreciate this, is there is a built-in light system. So we're proposing to do very little lighting. This piece will have lighting associated with it. The letters will have lighting associated with it, but almost everything else will be lit by this system of lights that's part of the rack that's built into it. And that's one of the things we wanted to check on the mock-up, is how is the wash? Did we get good coverage? What does it look like when those lights are on and the city center sign is lit up? Do they fight with each other? But the system is really built in, so we don't see change in that a lot, unless a piece comes in that lighting would be specifically associated with it.
And that front's Bollinger, correct?
It's all four sides. Okay. And our piece is on
the art piece.
Yes,
correct.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to make sure that I'm picturing the clock accurately, since that's a central feature. So are we talking about three-dimensional, like a physical minute and hour hand for the clock, with a digital display of like the air pressure and the temperature on the other side, or?
Okay. Yeah, the intent is to have the clock in the middle of the clock, and we'll have arms that move.
Physical.
Okay.
It'll be physical.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the articulation of the rising and falling of the temperature would be digital.
Okay.
But it will be on an armature. I mean, the thing we got to really work on in all these pieces is, you know, does it look really cool during the day, and is it interesting at night? And there's an opportunity there too to transform the place at night so that it feels very different when you're there at night versus when you're there during the day. So we're going to be looking really carefully to make sure it works both during the day and at night as well.
And the sculpture will be live when we go live, right?
Yes.
Yes, it'll be day one. And we're right now, if we're successful with you guys tonight, we're working on our day one. You know, we have to figure out what are we going to open with day one. So we're working on that, developing the idea, and then we'll be working on the calendar that follows that identifies the change outs and how that's going to work. And we've been talking to a really interesting graphic designer we've used a lot in San Francisco. Really interesting guy. His name is Michael Vanderbilt. I don't know if you guys know him. His work is beautiful. But we're talking about having him help us curate the pieces that go up there. So we've got somebody that can really focus on it.
And you're looking at opening, what is it, autumn of 18?
Fall of this year.
Yeah, okay.
So we're hustling.
We're counting down the days now.
I'm sure you are. So what, Marion, what do we need to do tonight or?
We are looking for a recommendation of approval to go to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
So we are looking for a motion. And
okay.
If all discussion is, yeah. Everyone's commented, discussions, questions, this is your time to talk amongst yourselves, to flesh it out. This is your time to make comments, potential recommendations, questions.
Elizabeth.
Do you have additional questions or anything?
I don't have any other questions, okay. But I'm excited about it. I like it.
Do you want to make a motion?
I would, if you're ready. I'd like to make a motion that the Arts Advisory Committee approve the plan of Renzo Piano or Sunset.
City Center Art Project?
The City Center Art Project.
I'll second.
All right. Anyone opposed? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much for your time.
Much appreciate your time.
So it's the easiest thing we've done.
I'm excited.
We really encourage you guys to check out the mock up. It's really interesting.
Like it's so default.
So you said we can walk through at least a portion of it. I know it's under construction, so I'm sure we're limited to where we can go. But
not so much the site, but the mock-ups across the street in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
To the north.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen them just from my car.
The walking path for AT&T goes right past it.
Yeah.
Okay. The gravel path. So you're right at the corner of Bishop and Camino Ramon. Okay.
There's that DG path that runs around the lake, so that it's on the berm along Bishop.
Yeah.
So you can literally just walk up there and look.
You'll soon be grading that right next week.
Yes, yeah, right.
Okay.
So, and we also talked to about the ARB. I think that, you know, as we get down the road, we would be really happy to do some tours with you all, too. You guys want to get together and walk the site?
Yeah, okay.
Do kids have boots?
I do.
Yes,
hard. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, so 7.2 cultural grants.
Okie dokie. Let's flip to the next report. All right. So the recommended action for the committee tonight is to review the Cultural Growth Fund application that has been received from Hansamo Korean Cultural Organization for the Korean Cultural Showcase and Awards Night to take place at the Doherty Valley Performing Arts Center. Make a recommendation to approve or deny the application, and if approved, recommend a not-to-exceed amount for the grant. And I would like to have, we have two representatives from Hansamo here this evening. I'd like to have them stand up and introduce themselves so they can answer any questions that you may have. If you want to come here into the,
join us. That would be great.
And if they could, if you'd like to introduce yourselves, gentlemen, that would be fabulous.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jay Oh. I'm the executive director of Hansamo. With me, I have Steve Kang, president of Hansamo. Can I give a little introduction about the group, or?
Why don't you do that, and then we'll go through the application.
Okay, great. Hansamo was created in 2011 to promote Korean language, actually, at Doherty Valley High School. And we're the group that was responsible for the Korean language curriculum at the Doherty Valley High School. And since then, you know, we've been focusing more on the Korean culture and Korean heritage. And we've been holding Hansamo Showcase at Dori Valley High School for the past 3 years. This will be our fourth event. And being that this is our, you know, we've been doing pretty much similar things every year with Dori Valley High School kids, you know, we've gotten Dori Valley High School to basically pay for and sponsor our group's performance. But this year, we decided to bring in some outside performers, specifically Taekwondo, with Goose Taekwondo on Old Coal Canyon Road. And even though older kids, I would imagine, are San Ramon Unified School District kids, high school felt a little uncomfortable being that they're outside group, and they decided to pull the sponsorship, and they said we'd have to rent the venue on our own, and that's why we're here to apply for the cultural grant.
So the cultural growth program, which it is attached for your review, was implemented in 2008-2009. $1 of every ticket sold at the Dori Valley Performing Arts Center and at the Front Row Theater is collected and held in the Cultural Growth Fund. The funds are earmarked to offset rental fees for groups that want to produce a performance that will augment or enhance the current cultural offerings in San Ramon, or to fund projects at the theater like improved sound, lighting, or signage. So a portion of the fund is devoted towards the infrastructure. A portion of the fund is devoted towards grants for cultural organizations. Any group can apply for the Cultural Growth Fund to offset the cost of renting the either one of the theaters. So it is your charge to review the applications and make recommendations based on the proposed time of year, target audience, budget for the show, marketing, and overall appeal to the community. If a group who has been granted a cultural growth fund makes enough money on ticket sales to cover the rental of the theater, then no funds are dispersed. The fund is only used as a safety net to cover shortfalls when ticket sales are not sufficient to cover the cost of renting the theater. So the fund is not available to pay performance fees, marketing costs, and such. Funds that are not earmarked for a specific, that were earmarked for a specific group but not used, will revert back into the fund and be rolled over for the previously mentioned objects, either purchasing equipment or for other cultural growth grants that we may have approved. There are sufficient funds available in the cultural growth grant currently for use in the 2017-18 fiscal year to offset theater rental costs. Any funds that are not used during this fiscal year will be held for use in 2018 and 19. So following hopefully approval, the staff will contact the applicant, advise them of the acceptance, they will know this evening, or denial of the application. And if funds are used, we will ask then for an accounting of those funds after the event. Typically that comes from the theater manager, and we'll give an overview of the event as it happened. So you will find attached the actual deadline that, the actual application that Hansamo did submit, double-sided, for you to read. And then you'll also see attached the estimated cost for rental use of the Dori Valley Performing Arts Center. Do you have any questions?
A question of the applicant. Or maybe you already answered it. I did the rough calculations. If you get 100% of your membership buys in as a family, you virtually got the cost covered. So you don't have a real track record with what kind of attendance.
This is our fourth event. We have, there's a, from year to year, there's fluctuation on attendees. Like last year, we've had a little over 100. So in that case, we'll definitely be short. Mm-hmm. Previous years, we've had, you know, a couple of hundred, you know, sometimes more than that. So, you know, we're hoping that our, ticket sales will cover the cost. But right. Just in case it does not, right. We want to cover our bases as well.
If I can, just from reading it, if I can interject. The other thing that makes it hard is they've added the component of going out to traditionally in the past they've used school-affiliated groups, and with them opening it up, it's added different
audience
to it. So I think with that you can assume safely or incorrectly that your attendance would go up because it's drawing from a larger crowd compared to, and they're still going to be meeting those school kids that are local, but also some local other groups that are not affiliated specifically with Doherty Valley High School. So I think if they're, just from, you know, from looking at it, I think if they're averaging those numbers, you would hope and think that they would tend to err on the side of more just because of adding that element.
That occurred to me too. I was thinking that as you were saying that you were bringing in these different groups. I thought, oh, that'll bring more, a larger audience probably.
we're doing that, so we'll have to see.
I think that has a bearing in our decision as to how much we allocate. If they know they're going to get 400 people every time because they always did, then, you know, they have far less need for helping us. But how much of it is conjecture and how much is reality is important.
Well, we do ask for you to give a not to exceed amount. And that typically is a not to exceed amount to cover the cost of the theater. It obviously would be less depending upon their ticket sales. So, but you can rest assured that it would not be over the amount that you said is a not to exceed. Any other questions regarding the cultural growth program or any other questions for our guests that are here?
So, I mean, how much do we have in budget to?
There is sufficient money in the cultural growth fund to cover this, yes. It's a complicated figure to.
Anything out of there in the past year?
We have not had two, in the past 2 years, we have not had any applicants.
Yeah.
So we're delighted that we have.
So it's a great opportunity.
Good time. It's a fabulous opportunity.
Just off some cobwebs.
Exactly.
Money laying around.
So you were saying in the past when you did this and it was just Doherty High School related?
It was a Doherty Valley High School Korean Club, Korean Pop. Basically, they're kids only. And of course, Hansamo being, we used to be called Doherty Valley Korean Parent Association. So we were part of the Doherty Valley, but we wanted to kind of, you know, work in arm's length so that we could work with broader audience. So by doing that and by bringing other, I guess, performances, we're kind of stepped outside the school's ice umbrella.
Right. So you said the school, Doherty High School, paid for it before?
Yes, because if it's a school event, pays for 100% of the costs.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's a joint use facility, so we have an agreement.
Offline. We have an agreement with Doherty Valley High School and the school district. So
that's right, if it's a school event, then they don't.
If it fell underneath the school as a school club,
there's no charge
activity
to the group.
Then they don't.
It's a separate agreement, and it's handled. It's basically they have use of the facility.
I see. Okay.
But with it opening up, and I don't have any idea how that transpired or anything. But now that it's not technically a school activity, it comes out as a.
They have to rent the theater like any other group would.
Yeah.
I was just curious if this expansion of the effort is that something you're actively reaching out to other groups, for example, to say a Korean club over at Cal High or, you know, the greater Korean community to participate?
Well, actually, you know, this year we're just staying with the local Korean organizations, but we are hoping to reach out to other communities as well eventually.
I'm just saying within the San Ramon community.
Within the San Ramon community, it's just going to be the Doherty Valley High School Korean organizations, Hansamo, and Kus Taekwondo, which is an old Coal Canyon Road. So it'll be all within the community at this point.
And you're not approaching for any kind of sponsorships for your event because you are a nonprofit organization?
We do have our sponsors,
okay.
And they
they've sponsored us throughout the years.
Okay.
But the sponsors, you know, the rental of the venue was like the last thing in our minds because this was something that transpired over the past month.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, our sponsors would pay for example, like, you know, certain like
materials,
costumes or
okay.
things like that.
Okay.
Just to get the show going.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something, this is an expense that we had not anticipated. And, you know, when Marion told us about this, you know, we're like, oh my God, this is like, heaven trying to help us, you know?
Yeah, it's like $4,000.
So, Marion, we're not, so it says here that, you know, some percentage can be used for equipment, and we're not anticipating any equipment upgrades.
No. That's in general the cultural growth fund.
The upkeep.
The cultural growth fund, the large fund, a portion of it is designated for improvements, necessary equipment at the theater, and we are always in the process of
okay.
purchasing those things, and those are done through the regular city's purchasing process and so forth. Then the other portion of the cultural growth money that is collected throughout the year is kept specifically for these types of grants. So it is not going to affect
right.
us not being able to purchase equipment or something. That has they don't have anything to do with each other in reality. Any other comments, questions, discussion?
I'm prepared to suggest.
We are looking for a motion then to either approve or deny the application, and if it is approved, I need a recommended not to exceed amount, please.
I will.
Two steps.
Yes, correct. One big motion.
Oh, one big motion.
I will motion to approve the project, the grant, or the.
Approve the
cultural growth
grant for Hansamo.
Mm-hmm.
And what amount?
That I'm not sure.
I need to look at
that
piece of paper.
I'd like to suggest $2,000.
Yeah, I will second that.
Okay, well,
second
we need
both. Second both.
So I'd like to motion to approve the Hansamo
cultural
growth
grant
in an amount no greater than $2,000.
Okay, that's the motion on the table, is to approve the cultural growth grant for Hansamo in an amount not to exceed $2,000.
And I second that motion.
Okay.
All in favor? You seconded?
I seconded,
correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion granted.
Okay.
Right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And
good luck.
Well, thank you. And if you would send us through Marianne your information, your names, and so forth, we'll make sure you guys have tickets with your names on them.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take care of that. So we'll be officially notifying you in writing.
Good luck with your event.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'm going to keep things moving. 7.3, the 2017 Arts Advisory Committee Annual Report. Marianne.
All right. Let's go to the next part of the packet. Okay. So this evening, I am looking for the committee to approve the draft of the 2017 Arts Advisory Committee Annual Report, which provides our listing of accomplishments and goals. If you have any additional feedback, I will take that as well, but we are looking for approval, and then it will be moving on. The City Council adopted a procedure for all committees to provide an annual report. The Arts Advisory Committee reviewed the 2017 goals, which were set forth in the 2016 annual report. At our meeting of October 18th, feedback was given to staff regarding accomplishments of the committee during 2017, sorry about that, as well as discussion of the goals the committee wishes to set forth for 2018. That feedback was incorporated into the attached draft of the Arts Advisory Committee annual report. You are scheduled to deliver the annual report to the Parks and Community Services Commission and the City Council in February of 2018. Steps following approval, I will incorporate any additional feedback that you give me into this annual report, and then it will be forwarded to the Parks and Community Services Commission for approval and then on to the City Council. So please find attached the draft of the Arts Advisory Committee annual report for 2017. We've gone through this once already. Do you wish to do you want to revisit any portions of it? It is divided into sections with the purpose, the charge of the committee. Those remain the same. History of the committee, general operations of the committee, when we meet, and so forth. The meat of the report, then, as you know, is we take our goals that you set forth last year for this past year, 2017, that were just completed. And then in a paragraph format, each of those goals is written out, and then we summarized how those goals were completed, if they were completed, and special highlights regarding those particular goals. So that is the meat of the report. Do you wish to review any of those in more detail than we already have?
So just to remind everybody, we've been through this a couple of times, and most recently we went through final edit for this final draft. Mm-hmm. That was pre-holiday, so.
Yes, pre-holiday, forget. Exactly. We also then list the presentations that we reviewed throughout the year, the people that came to visit us and provided us with some informative presentations. We had three of those. Then we close out with the goals and objectives that this committee decided upon that you will be working on for this coming year that we are in now, 2018. We have nine of them. Review and recommend the selection of a commissioned artist for a new public art installation at the San Ramon Library. Review and make recommendations for a second phase of the Utility Box Public Art Project. Update and make available to the public the San Ramon Public Art Map. Review current arts programs and classes within the city, make recommendations for improvement. Select an artist to commission an original piece of art for the Art Wind Festival. Review the art gallery exhibit proposals and select in ranked order our artists for galleries throughout the year. Review any public art proposals from private developments and make recommendation for acceptance to the Planning Commission, such as you did this evening. Review any cultural growth grant applications and recommend amounts, as you did this evening. And then we generally put in there, one of the goals is to have Arts Advisory Committee members attend a minimum of 4 arts events per year in San Ramon and provide feedback to this body and to the staff. Comments, questions, suggestions, changes? Otherwise, we're looking for a motion and a second to approve.
Can I ask a question, Marianne?
Yes.
So in the goals, I don't think I might have missed it. I know that, and I believe this is the section that applies, the city center then would fall under the private development goal, correct? Where you say
correct.
Public art proposals from private development?
Mm-hmm.
Does it merit special mention of special focus on City Center, or do you feel it's better to stay vague? I was just curious because I think there's so much opportunity and it seems like such an intensive part of your guys working with private organizations. I'm just curious if it merits its own. I'm just throwing that out there in the universe, you know, or if you guys feel that does it justice.
That particular goal is a standing charge of the committee.
So you may or may not want to get that specific then.
I think in light, the committee should chime in here as well,
yeah.
But I think in light of what you just heard this evening, I think you just approved the art program for City Center. And obviously I think they indicated in their discussion that if there were any art pieces that were to come forward that were going to be of a more permanent nature, they would then fall under that and be reviewed by this committee.
Yeah,
that's my understanding.
I see opportunities for collaboration moving forward. You know, they might come to you guys and say, we need some leads on some good artists or who have you used that you feel merit display in this format. And I just wonder, and I don't know if it will be more so them reaching out to you guys or you guys reaching out to them or just a co-collaborative, you know,
effort. But it's such a significant development for our community and such an opportunity to celebrate art even more so that I just, it's just a thought that came to my mind. But that might very well cover it if you like to keep those goals a little more general.
In the, as a reminder to the committee as well, in the five-year plan, which you just approved this past year, one of several, actually, of the specific items in that five-year plan relate to collaboration with City Center and going forward with, you know, with those kinds of ideas. So that is in the five-year plan, not to say that you couldn't flush any of that out as an additional goal and objective specifically for this coming year if you choose. It's the committee's prerogative to flush that out, but it is definitely in your five-year plan, in the city's five-year plan.
Well, and I think, you know, I think it's a great idea, Heidi, what you mentioned. I think with the goal being this year goal, and I don't think the public, you know, it's not going to open until, fingers crossed, like everything happens according to plan, like fall of 18, more of those public art pieces will be coming probably after that. They focused on the ones that I think are relevant to them opening, and then the rest of it's going to be focusing on opening. So I think as we build our partnership as a city and as a committee with that entity, we can figure out whether we need to tweak that or not. Because I think that's a great idea to see what they start doing with public art, or will they... They may not designate it as public art because it may not fit within that public art scope. Right. You know, it may just be art that may not be as permanent, which traditionally public art is more permanent. So we will have an opportunity as it plays out once it's developed. And
you're right. And this year will probably shed light on how close that connection between your group and them might be, you know, whether there's an opportunity for collaboration.
Exactly.
And they are going to expand on to the next parcel, but I would also suggest that if we are going to develop a collaboration with them, that we do that within all of Bishop Ranch, and not just keep it specific to the City Center. Mm-hmm. That we, you know, that we collaborate with art around Bishop Ranch in general.
Well, I think they made it very clear that Bishop Ranch will control the activities in this as well as every place else within Bishop Ranch. So,
because it's private.
I don't see us inviting ourselves to that dance unless we are invited to that dance.
Yeah. And I hear you guys are good dancers. I think
they'll invite you. Well, I feel that's as it should be.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't see any need to change that here. The pace of development in the city at this point in time is such that, you know, the Wendy's art piece is the first one we've seen in 2 or 3 years. You know, so it's not as if it's going to burden the agenda anytime soon.
Any other comments, questions, suggestions? Otherwise, I am looking for a motion to approve.
I'd like to move that we approve as written.
I'll second that.
Deliver that bad boy.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Anyone opposed? All right, we're moving along tonight. Getting a lot done. Okay. I don't think either of the subcommittees have met or have a report. Is that correct?
Nope.
All right. Okay, so 9.1 staff member items, San Ramon Performing Arts Activities for December and November. 2017.
Yeah, we have, I know you have to go. We have 2 months.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt? Did we get an official vote on the minutes for, and does that impact her leaving early? Do we want to do that now?
But no,
she was going to abstain.
Did anyone else come
in? No, we have a quorum to do the minutes.
Okay.
We can pop those in now if we want, or
no, I guess
you've got to run.
She's going to abstain. It's all good.
Okay. Yeah, we have a quorum.
Right, I wasn't here.
Right,
she wasn't here for the minutes anyway, so she can't vote on it.
I figured it out after I said it.
Yeah. That's all right. Thank you, though, because I would have forgotten.
Yeah, we'll go, we will go back to that. You will find in your packets both November and December attendance reports, since it's been a little bit since we met, for the performing arts programs. You can see in November, Doherty Valley High School had their drama program. We had quite a few rentals, as we usually do. We did have the big city season opening, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, 10th anniversary gala, which was fabulous and well attended, and I understand it went really well. Brad was in charge of that event, and great kudos there for a really fabulous event that highlighted very nicely the collaboration between the city and the school that's gone on for 10 years now, hard to believe. The San Ramon Library Foundation had one of their jazz series events going on. We finished out with some rentals and another school performance. And then we popped right into the holidays, as you can see in December, with large numbers, you know, approaching 5,000 people in attendance throughout the month. We had some fabulous dance shows. We had another jazz series going on, and we went into a lot of our fun holiday events. The Black Hawk Chorus is a regular rental over at DevPAC, and they always do really well with their attendance. Impressions of the Nutcrackers, you can see, was one of our largest. I believe it was actually our largest event for December, with two shows that sold out the theater, really.
Who is that that does that?
That is the
Dance
Academy.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're very popular. So we had a really busy couple of months at the theater. Questions or comments? Was anyone able to go to any of the performances? Anyone have any feedback for me on any of the events of November or December that you were able to attend?
I was not around to attend anything.
So make sure with the goals that we just talked about, you know, we try to encourage everybody on the committee to attend for, you know, local opportunities. And so with that, we really want feedback from the group to the rest of the group to get some dialogue going, as well as some direction to staff to see what's working and what's not. And so, you know, hopefully in 2018 we'll continue to look at those opportunities to attend some of those events, because that's really what we appreciate this this group for, on top of everything else you do. But it's really good to get your perspective, and it doesn't necessarily have to be from our list, anything, just so we can know about it and try to find ways to get involved. So I know the holidays are hard and a lot of stuff going on, but if you do attend any of those, you know, try to circle back with this group so we can you know, get involved and hear what you have to say.
Yeah, and that will include the Art and Wind Festival as well when that comes up, because that's a big event in the city. And then also our art galleries, which you can, you know, you can do on your own schedule. So the various art galleries around the city that we have a lot of input into.
Yeah, I think you mentioned the art galleries. It is important to get a different perspective once they are hung. So you obviously review them, and it's easy, you know, to do that review and make a recommendation when you see, you know, it in the small screen here. But I know from comments from the staff and such, when we see them in, you know, full color, or, you know, they're all their glory up, and sometimes, you know, there's obviously a lot of different pieces that we can't show in just the presentation to you. They change a little bit. They look different when they're in the gallery. So to get that perspective then and that feedback on that particular artist is extremely helpful. That gets us, we get it in our notes. And then if that artist comes around for the next year, we have notes. We have comments. We can refresh memory about how they looked up on the, you know, on the wall, how they looked in place, and that helps us to make recommendations. Well, you know, artist ABC looked fabulous and even bigger and better than I thought. I would say if they come next year, we need to move them into the City Hall gallery instead, or have them move into a different gallery. So really helpful for you to give us some feedback on those artists outside of the selection process that you do.
You know, Marianne, speaking of City Hall,
The artwork in there looks amazing. It's such a great display.
That's Pizookie.
Really look, I mean, it's just a great place to display art. And also those pieces are very impactful too. I mean, really
unusual.
Good. So it's like, you're captured, you know, yeah. Like we had a meeting, we were walking down and we're just like checking every single one out. And then Jenna decided to tell me which one she wants. So, yeah. So it's beyond my price range,
there,
but it looks there.
Quite striking. And how the artist curates the art once they're selected is different than how we see it just on a display here. It's curated in a very different manner and different perspective. So again, can't reiterate enough, going into the new year, really important for this group to attend events when you can. Give us the feedback on the artists. It really does help. It helps all of us, and most importantly, helps the community so that we give them the best product possible. Okay?
And maybe in the next month, so each month, if we put on our agenda, at least at a minimum, you can go to at least one of the art galleries, because you can do that on your own time. So if you are unable to get any of these performing arts events on your calendar this month, then at a minimum, you can make time to go to one of the many art galleries that we have and then give us feedback. So, and then perhaps we can talk about it in each meeting.
That would be very helpful.
Yeah.
With that said, we will move on to what we have coming up.
I'm sorry.
I have a question. I noticed in the December list Symphonic Band and the Messiah Sing-Along, neither one is attendance.
She may not have had attendance figures done for those or when she gave me the report. I can't speak to that. It's given by Lynn.
These are numbers traditionally from Dovepack or the theaters that we control. So the Messiah was actually done at
They don't always show up here.
So we don't necessarily reflect those numbers. These numbers are attendance numbers for the two performing arts centers. So that's why Messiah is not in here. The San Ramon Symphonic Band is the one that was on the 22nd,
yeah,
I believe, and that number was in here. They had one of their largest turnouts
yet.
Mm-hmm. So great holiday show. Was that the one you were questioning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And then, for example, we had the community chorus. So that was another one that took place, however.
It was here.
That's here, so we don't necessarily track all of those numbers for the stuff that's off-site. This is a report that our theater management group helps us produce.
See, Dorlick always would have the
I was going to say, 50% of the Messiah event is because Dorlick pushed it. Yeah.
I was personally at the chorus show. It is one of our big performing arts shows that we do each year, the chorus show for the holiday, and it was packed. Standing room only here for the chorus show. It was fabulous, so I can report on that particular one. So it was packed, and it was very, very well
That's
received.
Always really well attended, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do we have upcoming in the rest of January and February?
That said, for those of you who can, make note of this, please, in our art galleries at the El Costa Senior and Community Center. For the rest of the month of January, we have a photography exhibit. In February, then, we have Beauty and Age, and that's one of those special exhibitions that is a collaboration between students and the schools. And seniors, where they do portraits, and they're really, really fascinating to see. It's incredible to see the talent of the young people in our community and the vulnerability that the seniors show and allow as they allow the students into basically their lives to do these portraits. It's really a wonderful collaboration.
I think that's one of my favorite exhibits, It's worth your while to make some time to go to the senior center.
Pop up to the senior center.
Mm-hmm.
At the City Hall Gallery, you have the opportunity through February to see the Pizookie Art Group, as Commissioner Lee just mentioned. Mixed media on canvas and wood, acrylic and oil and ink. It's a real wide variety, and it's a beautiful exhibition. Doherty Station, January and February, we have another beautiful photography exhibit. That's Don Cresswell, and he has exhibited with us in the past and has some really stunning photography. Here at Lindsay Dirks Brown inside the Community Center, for the rest of January, we have David Liu, Oil on Canvas. And then February, again, we go into another one of those student shows. This is Cal High Advanced Photography. And mind-blowing what these students can do. So really a fabulous show to get to if you can. San Ramon Library, January and February, we have Rhodes and Friends, and that is a collaboration of several artists doing oils and mixed media collage.
So have they built out the San Ramon Library exhibit space? Like they've got, it's all identified where art can be displayed and it's being fully utilized now, the renovated facility?
We have a standing art gallery, an identified art gallery space at the library.
Okay.
The library themselves owned several pieces of art, some pieces of sculpture and stuff that they
put up
and they choose as part of kind of the county's, you know, permanent collection.
Right.
There is some additional space that we're working that can be used as gallery space in the children's section. They use it for children's artwork that's associated with a lot of the events and activities that they have at the library. We are, though, working on a plan with them to have an to augment that space with a show of some illustrators and people associated with children's books in particular.
That's right.
So we are working collaboratively.
You're talking about that space that had that origami?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So
nice.
We are working towards getting, you know, giving them some resources and working collaboratively with them to have something, you know, a little, I guess you would call it like a mini traveling exhibition there at the library with them. Coming up in January, the Friday Foreign Film Series took place this past Friday. A man called Ove, personally saw the film, and it was fabulous. We had a great turnout for that. We did a new thing this year in that the Foreign Film Series, we build it as it is, a series, and we gave people the opportunity to purchase the entire series, which gave them an overall $5 discount. So instead of six shows for $10 a piece, $60, we gave them all six films for $55. And I don't have the formal report yet from the theater, but a preliminary report prior to this show the past weekend was that a third or more of our seats were filled with that, two-thirds?
I think we were at 25, 27 people.
Okay, so about a third of our seats were filled with people purchasing that series. So that's fabulous because that's guaranteed butts in the seats for the rest of the shows and makes our life a little easier than in getting people out to the rest of those shows. But they're really a fun thing to do. So you can check that out because there's another one coming up on February 2nd, The Kid with the Bike at the Front Row Theater. Backing up to the end of January here, we have Night at the Improv. Beginning of February, then in addition to that foreign film I mentioned, The Kid with the Bike, we have February 9th, Bedtime Theater, and that's here at the San Ramon Community Center, and that's we have a series of three of those bedtime theaters that are geared for the preschool, kindergarten, youngster set and their folks. February 12th, we have our Youth Symphony Concert, and that's our regular Youth Symphony program that the city supports and that the kids participate in year-round, and they have their show February 12th. February 17th, we go back to one of our signature series shows, and that's One Night of Queen, performed by Gary Mullen and the Works, and that's at DevPAC, 8 o'clock, tickets still available. And the 23rd, we're continuing with the foreign film series Son of the Bride at the Front Row Theater again. Of course, we have lots and lots of cultural arts, performing arts classes offered at all of our centers and off-site locations as well. So we encourage you to drop by, observe any of those, use the recreation guide, use our online website, observe any of those, and provide feedback at a future meeting. Greatly appreciated. We should go back and do the minutes if we can, please.
All right. Someone want to make a motion?
Sure. I'd like to move approval of the minutes as written.
Need someone to second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Did you vote?
She's a
I was not there when the meeting.
No, you were here for the meeting of the in November.
Oh, the November. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, we're voting on the November meeting, so that's the whole point. We need to get a quorum. Yeah, everyone.
Then yeah.
Anyone opposed? Okay.
Okay.
Minutes are approved.
Great.
Yeah, we don't have a council member here, and we don't have Will here. One
we do
question.
Have a committee. We do have a commission member here, though.
Oh. Hi, would you like to bring us up to date on
parks
world,
things?
Parks and.
Well, I guess I'll do what I do at the senior advisory committee meeting, which is what I just liaise with. Last time we had a really good presentation at our last meeting from Steve Pearsall, who you may know is a city staffer on the facility and recreation booking system. They have used the class software system, like when you want to sign up for an art class or whatever, you go online and use that system. Okay, well, it has been around for a long, long time. And they no longer support it. And so they're moving to, what do they call it? Is it Civic Rec?
Civic Rec.
They're moving. Actually paid attention.
Hey, good job.
Yeah, so they're moving to a new system with a lot of great features for people to, you know, book some of our community facilities and to register for classes and so forth. So I think that, so they went through the whole time frame and they really did a lot of vetting, a lot of benchmarking with other communities and civic organizations, a lot of municipalities to see what was out there, what worked best for people. And I think the community is going to be really pleased with what I'm seeing with this new product. So a lot of good functionality, way more functionality, I think, than class ever gave us. So that was a big focus of the meeting. The other thing is there was a review of sort of some of the walking series and the trail series that we have in our community. So we have some great trails. We've done some sort of promotional walks and promotional trails challenges. As you guys might know, each year there's a trails challenge. We have, you know, easy to difficult walks that you can participate in and actually register and get a t-shirt if you participate in the challenge. It's kind of an honor system thing. So, you know, we love our hills, we love our trails out in San Ramon, and we try to promote getting people out and getting active. So we have kind of a presentation on that and had some ideas on, you know, new themes and new target audiences and maybe getting moms with toddlers out there or, you know, promoting it to the scouts in the community or what have you. So these are some of, you know, the things that we talk about. We're very much looking forward to you guys coming and to Donna coming and presenting the annual report to us. We always enjoy that. And we really do look forward to that sort of really encapsulated summary of all the hard work that you guys do during the year. And, you know, I know, speaking for myself and a lot of other folks, we know how important the arts are in our community and that you guys are really working hard to not only you know, elevate the presence of all forms of art in the community, but to promote it. Because I think there are so many folks who really don't know just how rich, art-rich we are in our community. Yeah. And so I think that, because I've been to several of these meetings over time, and that always is the topic that keeps coming up.
Yeah.
How do we promote it? How do we get people to see what great offerings we have? So so we'll look forward to having you guys over there, and I hope not only Donna, you know, will be there to present, but that everybody on the committee. I love it when, like, Teen Council will come and present. You guys are all out there in the audience supporting the chair or whomever's presenting, so we hope to see you over there. So it'll be nice to be able to say hi to you.
Yeah, thank you.
So that's about it.
Okay.
Those are two biggies.
Teen Council, do you have anything for us?
No.
Nothing tonight? Okay. I do have a question, and I don't want to drill down on it, but it's about the Arts and Wind Festival, just because I brought it up earlier. So at the Arts Foundation meeting, San Juan Arts Foundation, we talked, and it's just a question right now, so don't blow a gasket, about potentially having a second booth, and if we were able to have a second booth, how would we have enough people power to run two booths? So if this, these are all big ifs, if this all were to happen, I was wondering if people on this committee would assist in helping. So these are food booths at the Wind Festival. So people would do, I don't know, 2 or 3 hour shifts and come in and serve whatever food we would have. We do, the Arts
foundation does have one booth now, so we were talking of, conceptually, if we had a second booth, would we be able to have enough staff, enough people, to volunteers to help us staff it? So I don't need answers now.
Yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend. So
it's Memorial Day weekend, Sunday and Monday on Memorial Day weekend.
So you can talk to Donna offline if you think you're going to be able to volunteer to help in any format.
It's technically not a function of this.
Yeah, it's not a function of this committee.
Of this group, but I think it would be great if you can. So it's not technically a function of this committee, but we can definitely offline. If
yeah, you can talk to Donna offline about.
And my first year on this committee, I worked in the Arts Foundation booth.
Right.
I just because I asked, did anybody need any help? And
right.
They connected me. So, yeah, not a function of this committee, but we would be, if all these ifs come together, we would be looking for volunteers to help us staff.
Sure.
So, again, I'm not looking for an answer tonight, just kind of putting it out there so you can give it some thought. So, does anyone else have anything, any new business or anything?
I'll make a plug for the Senior Foundation. If you love crab, they're having a crab feed at the end of the month on Saturday, January 27th. So they're selling tickets from the San Ramon Historic Foundation. Excuse me, the San Ramon Historic Foundation, and their money goes to the renovation of the old barn, which is looking better and better every day. So if you like crab,
it's a good event.
Feel free to go through them.
For those of you that have been here a while, I'm not pointing fingers. Jeff Iorio is one of the MCs. So that could make it even more enticing for you to come.
It's quite a show.
It's quite the show here. And Terry Caney.
Yeah. What's the date of that again?
27th.
January 27th. And it's out at the Doherty Station Community Center. And they do, I tend to be a crab feed.
Aficionado.
Thank you very much. Uh-huh. And their crab is the best. Out of all my crab feeds. So
it really does have a great reputation as being
good crab.
Good stuff.
Okay. And lots of
it. You bring all your
you do.
Crabs.
You're one that you bring all of your stuff.
Because I have a friend who brings everything. Crab feed, so I sit next to her.
They sell some. Over the years, they got a little bit away from that. So bring what you feel you're fancy, you know.
And there's a cake raffle, and the cakes are really amazing.
Oh.
I'm not talking about somebody's dump cake they made at home. I'm talking about gorgeously, incredibly decorated gourmet cakes that they get made and donated, and they have a cake raffle. So that's
cool. Okay. Okay. So
with that
if
said,
nothing else. Then I ask this every single month. Do we vote to adjourn, or do I?
No, we don't need to vote to adjourn. You can just officially.
It's a monthly question that I ask.
Adjourn the meeting.
I adjourn the meeting. There's my
there you go. Good job.
Well, you'll have Will back next week, next month.